Go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning, everybody. Man, what a heck of a weekend I had. I hope all he did, too. I mean, geez, not only did we have Supercross going on, we had Rally America, we had X Games Snowcross, and the big one, everybody's getting ready for the Best of the Desert Parker 25, which is you know, scheduling and looking to be the biggest trophy truck or trick truck race in history. Which leads me to my guest, who's hanging out in the queue, it looks like. We've got Mark Weyrich, who is an off-road racing extraordinaire, started out in buggies and now in trophy truck. How you doing, Mark? You there, Mark?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Oh, doing all right. Hey, I'm getting a little bit of feedback from something that's going on in the background.
Hang on.
Yeah, no problem.
How's that?
Perfect. How's everything been?
It's been good, man. We're just enjoying the off season a little bit, doing a little bit of tweaking down at the race shop, getting things ready. Got some new personnel coming on board at the race shop for this year, so kind of getting them fit into the mix and getting ready to go racing this week.
Well, and you know, in talking about the race shop, I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, most people tuning in here are familiar with the Weyrichs and you and your brother and your dad. I mean, you guys have been in desert racing for a long time. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, let's start at the beginning. I mean, you guys, obviously, you started out in buggies and you and your brother really successful in Class 1 cars. I mean, multiple championships, you know, and Baja victories and the list goes on. I mean, you know, let's talk about the transition to running trophy trucks and, you know what I mean, and the biggest difference is driving style and, you know, and obviously both are fast and capable of overall wins. But, you know, let's, you know, a lot of guys have always been truck guys or always been buggy guys and you guys kind of have the background in both.
Yeah, we our dad started out racing in 1974, and his first big race, I guess you call it, was in 76. He went to the Mint 400, and my brother and I started out going down to those races, doing the road trips with him, you know, helping him tear down the cars as best we could. Got our first Class 2 car, but if you remember, Class 2s were just a two-seat unlimited back in the day in 1982, and my dad built pedal extenders for us, and we were allowed to go into third gear, but not fourth. And we were too short, though, so we had to have somebody ride with us to actually shift the car into third gear for us. So back then, our dad was promoting races in Oregon, the Oregon Off-Road Racing Association. He did that for about 10 years and opened up a lot of the deserts here in Oregon for people to race on, and people are still enjoying those deserts today. So we're real proud of that. My first race was the 1987 Mint 400. And didn't fare very well, but we kind of kept at it. Gary and I transitioned into some road racing in the early 90s and kind of had some fun with that. Didn't really like the politics. I think there's another guy by the name of Robbie Gordon, I'm sure you know well, that can attest to that. It's a very different world. Didn't enjoy that too much. So we came back to we still had our old Class 1 car at that time. Kind of came back and raced that a little bit, messed around with it, and I met Ryan from Chenoweth. So him and Mike Thomas convinced me to build a Class 1 car, which we did, and we started Class 1 racing in 1997, kind of full-time, if you will. Really kind of did what we came to do in that. You know, we, as you alluded to, we had some pretty good success. We were lucky. Really kind of cut our teeth driving up all through those years and kind of had done, like I said, what we came to do. So we were at the 2007 Baja 1000 that finished in Cabo. And as the old story goes, this one happens to be true. Jesse Jones and I and our wives and Larry Ragland and his wife were sitting down and having drinks at the pool. And I probably had more than I should have, and Jesse was complaining about how his truck had handled during the race, and I said, well, if it's such a piece of junk, why don't you sell it to me? So on the spot, I bought a trophy truck. Came home, my brother wasn't real happy with me, but, you know, 3 days later, Jesse's guys delivered it to Raceworks, and we went trophy truck racing. So, you know, the transition was a bit difficult for us. It was in the time when we were, you know, business had gone down quite a bit for everyone around the world, and we just didn't put any money or effort into it. We were hemming and hawing, running a race here and there. Gary was still running the Class 1 car, wasn't really going to put a lot of effort into the truck. We were still at Raceworks. You know, Craig and Sherry run a great business there, and we were with them for 12 years. You know, but they're running a business, and they don't have time to just sit there and focus on us and our program. But they did a great job for us, and we got together with Craig and said, look, we need to go out there and be competitive. We've, you know, business has turned around. We've got some additional sponsors coming in. Let's throw some money at this thing and see if we can make it work. We built new engines, developed some new transmissions, brought Rancho in. Tony from Rancho does a great job. We brought in Patton Racing engines to fire up the trucks, and just really brought in a lot of good people. Gearworks. You know, Kevin Croyer was instrumental for us as well in helping on some things. So really started actually putting some effort into the team, and we started seeing some pretty good results, but kind of felt like we were tapped out. You know, this is serious business. You know, the Class 1 to trophy truck jump is more than just a jump in horsepower or suspension. It, you know, there's a level of professionalism here that that I really didn't take into consideration. And it's a big boy's game, and you're not going to do well unless you really put some serious effort into it. So to that end, there was some people that we'd been talking to off and on, John Vance in particular. We'd talked to him about I've talked to John, known John for about 15 years, started talking to him about 12 years ago. Like, wouldn't that be fun, you know, if we went racing together sometime? And never really, you know, we've always kind of stayed in contact with it. John, of course, was instrumental over at Jimco, whom we've also had a great relationship with over the years, Mike and crew over there. And they, you know, John was kind of one of their design guys over there, very primary figure. Transitioned from them over to Mastercraft Racing and Robbie Pierce. And, you know, John was looking for something perhaps a little bit different. You know, Robbie's program was a lot of time away, because Robbie was doing all kinds of stuff with himself racing and Rob Mack in both the Desert Series and the Short Course Series. So kind of came to a fork in the road where, you know, Robbie Pierce wasn't exactly sure. You know, he acquired Impact. He's a busy guy, wasn't sure how much racing he was going to be able to do or how much effort he's going to be able to focus on it. So, you know, John called me and said, hey, you know, it might be time for me to make a change here. He and Robbie got together, decided that that's what was going to happen. So we opened our race shop on December 10th. They got the keys to the building in El Cajon of 2011. They had all busted up equipment that had carried over from the Baja 1000. Those guys put together a race shop, put all the pre-runners together, put the race trucks together, and we bought a new race truck that they had to completely go through, a new used one from Chet Huffman Motorsports, and did all that stuff, put two trucks on the track, finished, I think, third and eighth at the Parker 425 five and a half weeks later. So how's that for a summary?
Yeah, it's you guys have had a whirlwind of, I mean, really a past year and a half. You know, talking about John Vance, you know, people in the off-road world, you know him. I mean, obviously his track record is phenomenal. You know, and I know talking to you on the phone yesterday, obviously, you know, he's been at Jimco. He knows the design process, what goes into, you know, basically, you know, what we have now in trophy trucks, I don't call them building or fabricating. I call them engineering, you know, because, you know, anybody that's seen, you know, that one started from the ground up. I mean, they're completely computer designed and stuff. But I understand you guys are getting into the chassis business now, correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it the chassis business quite yet. I don't think Geysers or Jimco or anybody like that has anything to worry about. We, you know, I've always enjoyed the tinkering aspect of things and creating new ways of doing things. You know, one of the things we started ProDirt a number of years ago, Mike Juleson, Randy Wilson, Doug Fortin, and myself. And you know, the idea was let's make a package that's super fast but is affordable. I'm not suggesting we can do that with Trophy Truck by any stretch of the imagination, as you well know, being a Trophy Truck driver. But, John has been designing a new chassis for us over the last year. Ryan Williams is our head prep guy. He does a phenomenal job. He prepped both trucks all last year. We got Tony Dino doing the pre-runners. And Mike Baranowski is running all the taking care of all the office stuff, taking care of basically all the shop needs and all the chase trucks, which is a huge, huge task. So those guys just do a phenomenal job. We've also got 35 full-time volunteers. It's kind of a funny thing to say, but they really are. I mean, these guys, you know, you got this pit crew challenge coming up, which is a great thing. And they were practicing all day at shop on Saturday. You know, these guys put in a tremendous amount of time and effort. But yeah, so getting back to John, he's designed this truck over the last year. We started laying tubes a month ago, and we're going through the fabrication process now. It's all engineered up, and we're hoping to have it on the track somewhere around summer, just to try and, you know, go bounce it around. We're going to stick with the Geyser trucks for now, and see if we can build a mousetrap that we're comfortable with.
Yeah, and let's talk. You've touched base on your Raptors a couple of times, I'm sure most people that are tuning in, they understand the background on your Raptors, but we're not talking normal Raptors. I mean, we're probably talking about two of the nicest Raptors ever built. I mean, they're just beautiful trucks, and you guys have got some mainstream PR just because of them. I mean, you know, talk to us a little bit about those things. I mean, comparison to say a trophy truck. I mean, you're pretty much on par with what you're racing, correct?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, you know, the guys over at Raceworks, again, Craig Stewart designed those. He's got a tremendous team over there. Can't say enough about them. I mean, those are the most amazing vehicles on the planet as far as I'm concerned. I've driven a lot of different cars, road and dirt. But, yeah, they're essentially just a trophy truck. You know, the parts were designed to be interchangeable. They were being built at the same time as our Jimco trophy truck. So all the brakes, all the components essentially are completely interchangeable with our race trucks. So we, you know, the engineering that goes into those things is just phenomenal. And the miles we could put in, you know, I put in 3,000 miles pre-running for the Baja 1000. That was on-course miles. I put in 7,000 miles if you include all the chase miles I had to do. So, you know, to be able to go out there and have these trucks do that is just incredible to me. I mean, I'm not sure if our race trucks could put in those kind of miles. And they just did it. You know, they just kept on cruising. We put a slightly smaller motor. I think they have 675 horsepower in them. That's primarily just for longevity. Of all the parts and components. I mean, you know, you have to think this thing's a tool for us. It's a tool for us to carry the banner, our corporate banner, and the banners of our sponsors to Victory Lane. And that's why we built them. And that's why we went with Craig Stewart. And, you know, nobody else builds a pre-run that's going to go down there and put in those kinds of miles on that type of terrain. So, yeah, they're beautiful rigs. I think Fox has used mine before. Ford used mine before. For various shows around the country, and I think it got off-road truck of the year or of the show at SEMA in 2011. So, you know, that's no accolade for me. That all goes to Craig Stewart and the guys at Raceworks that put those things together for us.
Yeah, they're beautiful piece of art, really. And, you talk about, you know, putting in these miles. What 2013? I mean, obviously the off-road landscape just in the past month has, you know, with the big score announcement has changed. But you know, what's your schedule look like in 2013? Obviously, I know you guys are big supporters of Best in the Desert, and we've got, you know, one of the biggest races of the year coming up here this weekend. But what's your plans for 2013?
Well, I can't wait to come to your town in a couple of days here. Love Parker, love the people. I love that racetrack. It's fast. It's gnarly. It's got a little bit of everything. So we had made all of our plans, and I think most teams had prior to this announcement by Roger Norman. I think you're going to see a lot bigger entries at Best in the Desert this year. I think most people kind of hitched their wagon to that, and rightfully so. You know, Casey runs a hell of an organization. I think Roger's going to do a phenomenal job as well, but you know, the announcements just came too late for anybody to make any real decisions, I think, to run this, you know, quote unquote world championship, which I think it's great that he's calling it that. I'm not sure how worldly it is if you don't have, you know, all the best drivers in the world there, but I think you'll get there, you know, for sure. We're excited to run the Score Series with him. But there was just no way we could make that first HDRA race a couple of weeks ago there at Gene. So our plan is to run Best in the Desert, and all of our sponsors were encouraging us to do the same, and as well as the three races, the Score Series in Mexico. So basically just do what we've done before. Gary and I are going to run two trucks, the 9 and the 98, all the way through. We'll see how we're doing in points when it comes to the Baja 1000, and then we will maybe just pick a horse and run one truck. And then we're going to run two trucks all the way through the through Vegas to Reno in the Best in the Desert Series, and then just kind of see where we're at in points there. And or if we just, you know, if we feel like just going and running two trucks, we'll do that. But I think we're going to try and put some effort toward this new truck that John's building for us. We call it the JV1, so we'll see how that thing turns out. And so stay tuned.
Yeah, we're excited to see how that turns out. Just, you know, with John Vance's history, and, you know, it should be a phenomenal piece when it, you know, when it does launch. Let's talk a little bit about this weekend, though. I mean, you know, I know my feelings, and most of the listeners know that, you know, on strategy and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you know, we've got 45 entries in Trick Truck or Trophy Truck or, you know, Unlimited Truck, whatever you want to call it, depending on the organization. I mean, you know, what kind of strategy plays into your mind in something like that? I mean, you know, and really with qualifying, I mean, you know, including class ones, we're looking at like 90 qualifiers, I think, right now. I mean, you know, it's kind of, you know, my feeling is qualifying really determines the race, don't you think?
Yeah, it really does, and anymore, and you know, that's the thing where I'm not very good. You know, I keep telling the guys, I'm like, man, I got to put together better qualifying efforts for you guys. It really tends to hamper me in the races. You know, you got to qualify up front. It's so difficult. Casey has such a hard time. He gets a lot of grief from everybody because, you know, the vehicles are so different. I've driven both at the top level, and, you know, some are the class one cars are faster in certain areas, and the trophy trucks are faster in others. But, you know, it's just an interesting mix out there. You really have to think about who's in front of you, where you should really push your vehicle relative to, you know, not only the driver of that vehicle, but also the particular vehicle that you're racing against that you're trying to pass. So assuming you don't qualify first, you know, you really got to think about that and play your cards at the right times. You know, to go ahead and sit here and charge a class one car in a certain section of a race course, you're just not going to pass them. You know, conversely, if you're trying to run out a trophy truck, you really got to pick your battles out there and really know the race course, be a student of the different types of terrain and the different types of vehicles and the different drivers out there. So, you know, we're going to go out there and do the best we can qualifying once again. We've got some new gearing we're going to try. We've got some new things we're going to try with the tires. And you know, bottom line, I just got to get up on the wheel and drive that thing.
Yeah, and I don't know. I totally agree with you. It's just, you know, I've had a little trouble with my qualifying runs too, and it's like, you know, it comes to a point where you got to find that happy medium where, you know, you've got to run 110% in qualifying. There's no doubt about it to break the top 10. But it seems like, you know, at 110%, you can run off one corner just a little bit, and it shaves 3 seconds off, and it could have took you out of the top 10. It's just there's finding a fine line and a happy medium. And to me, I just haven't found it in qualifying yet.
I hear you, buddy. I hear you. Maybe we'll find it together this year.
Yeah, exactly.
But Gary's shown, though, he won Vegas to Reno from the 28th starting spot last year. So, it's doable. We call it shooting the gaps, running the gaps. Guys have different names for it. But as people go out at these events, you end up getting clean air by proxy. So, and clean air is critical. And, you got all these guys up in the front that are battling each other, and they're kind of stuck in each other's dust. And, you're sitting back there and you got a couple guys drop out between you and the lead pack. And the next thing you know, you're up at the back of that lead pack, but you've gained all that time on them. It's doable. I mean, I started, I want to say 18th or something last year. And were it not for having a stomach issue and having to pull over and relieve myself at mile 120, I win that thing. So it's possible for sure. Because the reason that it is that you are qualifying. So when you're starting up there, you're with the top, the best 15 or 18 or 20 drivers that are out there. So the pace is quick. It's a fast pace out there, as you well know. I mean, I can't believe how much the pace has increased out there in the last 3 years. And that's a testament to guys like, people like the engineers at BF Goodrich. You got the guys at Rancho Drivetrain, the Pattons, the Dugans, all these guys that are just building equipment that is just stronger and stronger and stronger. Geyser Brothers, for example. We drive those trucks into the ground. Me and Rob Mack were talking about it after the Henderson race, and Rob was on the radio to his crew saying, look, I can't drive this thing any faster. I'm going to break it in half. We're just pushing these things to the limit, and it's a lot of fun out there.
Well, it's funny that, you mentioned that because, really 10 years ago, Trophy Truck's been around about 20 years now, the class, but up until even 10 years ago, I mean, it was one of those things. It was a race based on attrition. You could drive the truck at 80% and know that, just by finishing, you're going to finish in the top three. And now it's, you look at the Baja 500 this year. I mean, went down to 30 seconds and that was just, driving as hard as possible, even the 1,000. I mean, between you, BJ, and Vedoso, I mean, you all three were in it, and that's after, 1,100 miles. I mean, it's just crazy, the durability of these trucks and how fast and competitive they're going, for these long distances.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was always the biggest, kind of the biggest voice, if you will, when Trophy Trucks used to start in front of the class ones, because you had guys out there loping around, just like you said, and they're just going for the finish because they know they're going to win. Everybody's going to drop out. And really was banging the drum for qualifying and everything else. Well, now things have changed dramatically. And you can push the equipment so, so hard. I mean, Andy McMillan has often said he can drive his truck 10 times harder than he could ever drive his class one car. And he's absolutely right. I mean, you can just pound these things. We get to the end of a Baja 1000 in our class one cars and, the Himes are rattling and you got no brakes left. And, it's just a whole different animal. You get in these trucks and you're pushing them. You're diving into the hole so hard. You're flying these things. You're pitching them sideways. And just the loads that you're putting on every component of that thing, it just amazes me at the abuse that they're able to handle.
Well, this is a little off the wall, but, people knew that you were going to come on, and immediately it seems like every week, depending on my guest, people want to ask questions and stuff, and the one that popped up, and I was like, well, I'll totally ask it and put Mark on the spot, but the way short course has kind of taken off, any chance we're ever going to see you and Gary, toy with short course, or are you guys strictly going to stick with the desert?
So we fund ourselves, right? We don't have any, we got great sponsors that really help us out a lot, but we look at everything as dollars for seat time. You know what I mean? And the short course stuff is a lot of money. You're not getting. I don't think you get enough seat time out there. I'm no glory hound by any stretch of the imagination. Neither is Gary. And you know, it's just not kind of in our wheelhouse, if you will. I think there needs to be some major safety improvements. I know Robbie Pierce is looking at a lot of things. You know, these guys are auguring in pretty hard. You know, I'm 43 years old, so I take a hit like some of these guys do. I break. I don't bend anymore. And, you know, I got just the time away that's going to take as well. I think it's a wonderful series. I think it's great for the sport as a whole. But, no, I don't think you're going to see us anytime soon out there running around on those tracks.
Gotcha. You know, and I agree. I think, you talk to anybody, bang for the buck, and guys like me, you know, we've got a little sponsorship money coming in, but for the most part, it's self-funded. And, yeah, you know, you can go and spend a weekend running a 500-mile race, or you can go and spend a weekend running a few short course heat races, and I think I'd rather spend 500 miles in the truck.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like not knowing what's over that next rise. I like not knowing what's around that next corner. You know, to me, guys like us got more balls than anybody, you know, because we're sitting there with our foot in the gas, not knowing what's around that next corner. Every turn we take is different. And, even at a loop event like Parker, each turn is different every lap. So it's a constantly evolutionary process. It's a thinking man's sport. I love the cognitive aspect of it. I was talking to Robbie Gordon before he went to Dakar, and it's, you know, we were talking about that very element that you got to be a thinker down there. And, you know, albeit that's on a lot grander scale, than what we do. But, you got to be thinking about what you're doing out there. You're constantly evolving your strategy, as a team and as a driver. And, I just love the challenge and the adventure of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air. And, I guess we're going to see you here Thursday in town, Wednesday or Thursday. We got the Pit Crew Challenge, and looking forward to seeing your guys in their Impact over-the-wall helmets and suits and, you know, always dressed for the occasion.
Absolutely, man. We're looking forward to it. Real quick, obviously, I'd like to thank, Tube Specialties Company and all of our employees for everything they do for us, BF Goodrich Tires, Method Wheels, Black Knight Lighting, Maxima Racing Oils. Everybody's putting together a big effort for us, and we certainly appreciate it, and we'll try and bring home the banner for them.
All right, sounds good. We'll see you Thursday. I'll buy you a cold one, buddy.
All right, buddy, sounds good.
All right, thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, that was Mark Weyrich, Tube Specialties Company, Tasco Racing. Run a phenomenal program. Him and his brother Gary, I mean, been, you know, as you could tell from the interview, I mean, been around the sport for the family for just about as long as everybody, starting with their dad, who, you know, just a great family, a great group of guys, and really just diehard desert racers. And, they do a lot for the sport, and like he said, just totally self-funded. And, now they've got their own shop, their own program, and it's exciting things and exciting time to be involved in desert racing with everything happening and these big announcements with SCORE and Best in the Desert, is big and, better than ever. And we'll get into a full Parker 425 preview here after the break, but it's just really an exciting time for off-road desert racing, and I'm a hugest fan of anybody of short course racing, and short courses really exploded and got huge. And because of their TV package, I think you hear, more about short course than anything else. But what people don't see is that desert racing, I mean, entries are up. I mean, 45 trophy trucks in one race, and we're talking anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000 a piece. That's a lot of money rolling around in the desert, being beat up. It's just phenomenal. I mean, it's, like I said, just an exciting time to be involved in not only off-road racing, I mean, rally. Rally cross, it's all growing and it's all, all exploding. And, I don't know, what does that go back to? People are bored of NASCAR and NHRA. I don't know, but, I can tell you right now that, it's an exciting time for, the dirt sports community, let's say. But, we're going to take a quick break. And, when we come back, we'll have a Parker 425 preview. We'll have, some Rally America results, and we'll talk a little X Games snowcross and, And our good friend, you know, you may have heard of him, Ken Block. He had some quite big announcements last week. So we'll get into those too. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back here in a couple of minutes.
KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com.
The Cage is back. Cage Rage 4 at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Full contact MMA cage fighting Saturday, March 9th. The speed, the strength, the rage. Cage Rage 4. Tickets are on sale now as low as $25. General admission just $35. Or go all in with ringside seats at only $75. Ask about VIP packages. Get them at the gift shop or online at bluewaterfun.com. Cage Rage 4, Saturday, March 9th. And only at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Are you ready for the revolution? The Ford Revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
All right, thanks for staying tuned during the break. Like I said, Parker 425, you know, Mark and I touched on it, you know, quite a bit in the interview. It's lining up to be, you know, obviously we're not going to, you know, it's cars and trucks solely. This race doesn't have the motorcycles included, you know, so you get, you know, of years past, the ungodly amount of entry numbers for, say, the Baja 1000 or the Baja 500. And it's funny because 07 was the last time I raced in Baja. I ran the Baja 500, and up until that point was one of the largest desert races in history, and in the largest trick truck or trophy truck race ever. I think we had 44 pre-entries, like 41, 42 take the green flag. I mean, it was big numbers, and you know, and it was just carnage. I think I started 37th or something like that out of the 40 some. You know, trophy trucks, and I think 200 mile mark, I'd pass like 20 something trophy trucks. So it was ungodly numbers, anyways. But you know, but that race, I think it was over 400, between 400 and 500 entries. You know, but you figure 150 to 200 of it was bikes, quads, you know, UTVs, that type of thing. So, you know, I don't want to say excuse the numbers because they're racers too, obviously. But you know, when you're comparing apples to apples, I mean, this race with I talked with Diane at Best in the Desert last week, and they were already over 250 entries. So, you know, I think when you compare apples to apples, it's pretty darn close to one of the biggest, you know, off-road races ever. And when you talk about unlimited entries, probably the biggest. I can't think of any race in recent memory. Obviously, you know, the Baja 500 from 07 aside, I mean, we've got 45 trick trucks entered, which is just phenomenal. We've got over 40 class one cars, and that class is, you know, I don't want to say a dying class. It's absolutely not dying. So don't miscue my words here, but, you know, it's one that's, I wouldn't say hurting for entries, but you know, I remember here 5-10 years ago when, you know, class one, we were having 70 and 80, you know, in the 60, 70 vehicles, you know, car counts, and it's dropped tremendously. You know, we're talking maybe, you know, in the 30s nowadays. So, you know, in the 40s is a good, you know, very good turnout for that class. And part of the reason is those drivers haven't gone away. They just graduated to trophy truck, much like Mark and Gary Wayrick, you know, have. So, you know, they're still involved in the desert, just switch classes to the truck side of things instead of the buggy. So, you know, to see over 40 class ones is great. Class 10, a class that 3 or 4 years ago, I'll say it was dead. It was a dead class. You know, it's had a renaissance as of late, much of it due in part to the motor rule changes and being able to run, you know, I guess competitively crate motors. It used to be, you know, people have to run these Honda and Toyotas that, you know, cost more than a V8 Class 1 car. And so that class over 40 entries is tremendous. I know 1600, I looked, and they're, you know, I think at 15 entries. Jeep Speed, I've heard close to 20 entries. Trophy Light is through the roof. You know, I think 7200 mini trucks, you're looking at like 15 to 20, 6100 over 10. I mean, you know, I could list classes all day long, but it's just a phenomenal turnout. And, you know, I can tell you right now, you know, from a, you know, preview standpoint and talking about the course, I mean, Parker, as Mark said, there's a little bit of everything. I mean, we've got high-speed graded rally roads where, you know, in these trophy trucks, we're 130 to 140 miles an hour. And I'm not joking, and that's not an overstatement. That's, you know, that's exactly, you know, the type of speeds we're going, you know, all the way down to rock crawling, basically, in what is properly called the Jeep Trail. You know, so it's, you know, Parker is so diverse, and, you know, and people see the greater roads and go, oh, this thing's a piece of cake and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, it truly isn't, you know, but I can tell you right now, you know, we're going to take off the line in these unlimited cars. The sun's just going to be peaking up and, you know, and the way we run for the first, gosh, 30 miles of the course is directly into blinding sunlight. And so, you know, you're fighting that, trying to be competitive. It's off the start. Everybody's got the juices flowing, the, you know, adrenaline going, and you know, you want to go fast, but yet, you know, you're going through a wash, and there's trees and rocks, and you're fighting through those, and, you know, and you've got this blinding sun, and we've got one element that may go away. We've had a ton of rain in Parker recently for this race, and, you know, and I think that it really has killed the dust. But in years past, I mean, not only that, but, you know, after the first few cars go, then you've got dust sitting and the sun going through the dust, and it literally is blinding as you're trying to race, and it's just insane. I mean, all these elements play into to off-road racing that makes it tremendous, and that's what's so different about this sport than, say, you know, NASCAR. You know, NASCAR, they make a big fuss over, oh, you know they're in the sun in one corner, oh, the shadows are on the course, or, you know, shadows are on the track, and, you know, and, you know, to me, is a, you know, as an off-road or rally type of guy, you know, that, you know, loves this and loves the dirt sports and elements, and, you know, I just laugh. I mean, you know, and people in, you know, in the action motorsports community find it comedy. I mean, they're making a big fuss, and, you know, and I don't know if it's these TV announcers, because I've driven, you know, stock cars, but never, you know, at a NASCAR type level. But, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. Are they just trying to cause more drama to get you to not fall asleep, or what? You know, I mean, here I go doing my thing where I'm making fun of other motorsports, but that's just kind of how I feel about it. But anyways, Parker 425 coming up this next weekend. It's going to be huge. The Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy. Yeah, that's right. This show right here, we're going to be hosting a Pit Crew Challenge on the Thursday. Yeah, that's only a couple of days away, Thursday. You know, for the race. So 5:30 mountain time, it'll be 4:30 Pacific. We go live on racedesert.com. They're going to be live streaming the Pit Crew Challenge, and that's kind of going to kick off you know, for online coverage the race weekend. We'll also have qualifying results, and yours truly we'll be announcing the Pit Crew Challenge and doing the live commentary for it. So if you don't, you know, get sick enough of hearing me on Mondays, you're going to have to hear me Thursday if you want to tune into the race too. I will be racing, though. I'll be qualifying on Thursday and racing on Saturday. I just won't be competing in the Pit Crew Challenge. I figure I'm going to use my voice instead of putting my guys through the challenge. So, yeah, I will be there, though. You'll hear me, I'm sure. But that's going to be 4:30 Pacific, racedesert.com on Thursday. So you need to tune in. That's a Down and Dirty Show fueled by Speed Energy. We're putting on the Parker Pit Crew Challenge. And also, you know, I'll give you myself one more plug, and then we'll get on to what you guys really care about. But got a press release dropping today with all kinds of cool news, so you guys need to check that out on my Facebook page. And also, I'll be teaming up with a good friend of mine, Tracy Rubio, for the Parker 425 this year. We're going to be running the number 15, but I'll have a partner. And it's funny because the number 15 won't be my single seater you guys are used to. It'll be his truck that – those of you that know me know that he's got the brother to my truck. It's a two-seat truck, pretty much the twin to mine. You know, we talked this week and decided to team up, and his truck might be a little with the two seats, a little more suited to this course and 425 miles. So we're teaming up in his. We'll have the General Tire and Speed Energy branding, but that's another storyline for you guys that are out there and, you know, in the chat forums and discussing things. I'll be teaming up with Tracy Rubio, and we'll be running a one truck effort in his two seat instead of my single seat. So there's a storyline for you. But like I said, we'll have the Speed Energy. We'll have the General Tire branding. It'll be the number 15. It'll be my name and his name on the door. It's just a little shakeup. But anyways, skipping forward, let's go on and talk a little bit of Rally America. That's right. Rally America kicked off their season in Michigan, the Snowdrift Rally, over this past weekend. Snowdrift Rally, always an interesting one. Those of you that follow it online and you know, I guess necessarily don't even have to follow Rally America. Just follow Ken Block, because he's been up in Michigan the past week doing testing. And really is quite, you know, one of my favorite rallies of the year, just to, I guess, to watch and keep track of, because it's so so dynamic with the different elements involved. And I mean, you know, it's not like when they say Snowdrift, they're running through the snow, studded tires, the whole works. It's really is kind of unique. But Ken Block, the one that everybody's curious on how he did, he was actually had a problem right out of the box. And, you know, it was like on stage two or three, an electrical problem, fluke electrical problem, took him out of the day one. So he got it fixed and came back in day two with a penalty. Rallied to finish sixth overall, which just a phenomenal finish. And I'm getting correct on the chat board. And as I said that, I know I shouldn't have said that. Michigan, studded tires are illegal. And I said studded because that's, you know, my train of thought in the snow. But you absolutely correct. I got corrected. And studded tires are illegal in Michigan. So it was non-studded tires in the rally, from what I understand, because of the Michigan law. But anyways, your eventual overall winner, Antoine Lestage and Natalie Richard, in their 2011 Mitsubishi, took the win. Second overall, David Higgins in a 2013 Subaru. Leonard Ulrich was a winner in a finished third place in a 2007 Subaru. Skipping down to obviously Ken Block, finished sixth overall in the open class. Your winner in production was Evan Klein and Jake Blattner in a 2005 Subaru. Andrew Comrie Picard finished first in two-wheel drive in his Scion, and we're gonna have Andrew Comrie Picard on air sometime. I actually, when I went and test, you know, here I go skipping around. That's tends to be what I do, but I actually spent the day with ACP, as he's known, when I was out testing GRC cars for OMSE a couple weeks back, and really got to know Andrew, and a good guy, and we shot the bull for quite some time when we were out there. I mean, well, obviously we spent a whole day, but super cool guy, and those of you who don't know, I mean, he's got such a background in rally. I mean, he's one of those guys that's, you know, stayed true to his roots and been there, done that for a long time in Rally America and, in Rally in the United States. And, you know, I think he'll be an interesting interview. I mean, you know, he's been in the X Games in the past before it, quote, you know, got called Rallycross, and it was just called Rally. And, you know, those of you remember X Games way back when they first brought Rally in, they actually had had co-riders still in the cars. You know, now it's gone to the short course. I compared to short course off-road racing, but, you know, Rallycross, where it's, you know, one seat and everything else. But they actually had pace notes and, you know, and a co-rider in there. And, you know, they ran it down around the LA Coliseum in and out and it wound around and, you know, it was really, really cool. And, you know, it's kind of changed to what it is today, but anyways, going way off the beaten path as I tend to do. ACP ended up getting the win in the two-wheel drive class in his Scion. Dylan Vanway in his 2011 Fiesta, second in two-wheel drive, and that's one of those Fiesta R2s you've heard me talk about time and time again that TM O'Neill's producing, courtesy of parts from M-Sport. You know, skipping down again through, geez, lots and lots of two-wheel events, just, you know, great turnout, but, you know, just skipping down, and my notes, the way it printed out, are kind of a little bit off. But Mason Moyle, second in Super Production. Nick Roberts, third. Third in two-wheel drive, Edward McNeely. Fourth in two-wheel drive, Chris Greenhouse. Verena May, fifth in two-wheel drive. And rounding out your top 15 would be James Robinson in a Honda Fit. Sixth in two-wheel drive, 15th overall. And that rounds out your top 15. I'm skipping through the chat board here and seeing I get a lot of news off the chat board, and I love it. I'm just skipping down to see what I missed. But the Lucas Oil Rally team didn't make Snowdrift because of mechanical issues. You know, at the 100 Acre Wood, you know, and we had them on air a few months back, and that was the one I didn't see them in the finishing list, and I was wondering the story there, because obviously, you know, returning points champions from last year, you know, they're going to defend their crown this year, and I'm sure we'll see them at the next rally, but, you know, always competitive, and once again, your champions from last year. But that's going to kind of, you know, round out our Rally America coverage. You know, I guess the big one, Ken Block, you know, he had all kinds of announcements last week as he's in Michigan. You know, he's got all these announcements going on. And, you know, we had Brian Scotto and the Hoonigans on air last week. You know, and Brian kept telling me we got this huge announcement because of certain obligations that got pushed back a day. So Brian couldn't make the announcement Monday last week on air. Still a heck of an interview if you haven't heard yet. But the big announcement, Ken Block, what was formerly named the Monster World Rally Team, is now named the Hoonigan Racing Division. So that was his big announcement. On top of it, he launched his new livery that goes along with the Hoonigan Racing Division, and also launched a brand new headquarters. Yeah, they completely renovated his old headquarters, you know, into this new one. I can't even put into words what it is. I mean, you got to know Ken Block. I mean, obviously, him and Rob Dyrdek are good friends. And I think they've kind of got a battle going on in who can have the better better facilities or headquarters. I don't know. It's just phenomenal what Ken was able to do, and you definitely need to go and check out their Facebook page and check out this new headquarters, because to me, you know, looking at it, you know, seeing pictures of you know of what a Formula One shop looks like and this and that, I would put this on par with any top level motorsport facility in the world. I mean, it's you know, obviously there's no wind tunnel or anything, but it absolutely a work of art and beautiful, and you know, I can't even put it into words. You need to check out the pictures of it. It's just, as with any that can, over the top, and you know, and that's an understatement here. But anyways, that'll wrap up our you know, our I guess Rally America and Ken Block news. But Global Rallycross, you know, everybody's been wanting to know the past couple of months, what's going on, what's the schedule, and we've got little inklings here, little inklings there, and nobody's ever had the full schedule, and they still haven't launched it. Well, here's what I found out, and we'll tell you what I know. Obviously, they're tying in with Global X Games. They're going to run Los Angeles. They're going to run, you know, some of the European rounds, and they're going to run in Brazil. As far as the CRC, well, they announced their light schedule, and their light schedule, coincidentally, is the same as some of the U.S. rounds of the supercars. So the light schedule is going to be five rounds, and they're also going to run with the supercars starting July 13th in Luton, New Hampshire. they're going to be running with NASCAR there. 7:20, it's a quick turnaround, a week. They're going to be running in Bristol, Tennessee. You know, the teams are going to be busy going from New Hampshire to Bristol, you know, and turn around and running a week later. Then you've got 8-11, August 11th in Atlanta, Atlanta Motor Speedway, 9:22 in Charlotte. And then you've got a 10:20 date to be determined. So here's my thoughts. And, you know, and I say that's, you know, they said five rounds. You go 10:20, and the way GRC likes to package their races with IndyCar, NASCAR, you know, and stuff like that. Here's my prediction: the 10:20 date, one of two things, and I could even see maybe a sixth round being put on here. And I have absolutely no idea, no insider information. This stuff I've come up with though. IndyCar, their finale in Fontana is the 19th, so of October. So that 10:20 date, GRC needs a West Coast date on the calendar other than X Games, whether it be Vegas, Los Angeles, somewhere in that area. So I'm thinking 10:20. Maybe they could be running with the IndyCar finale in Fontana, or possibly got something going on in Vegas. I think those were good events. You know, I don't know. Those are my predictions, though, and I could see two dates. I could see, you know, the Fontana on the 20th and then turn around and run a steam around again. I don't know. These are just me rambling here on air trying to talk through what is a, I wouldn't say non-existent GRC schedule, because I know somebody knows what they are, but, you know, I think that's, you know, Ken Block was going to debut his schedule as well, and he wasn't able to do that. Because, you know, GRC hasn't announced theirs yet. So, you know, I don't know. I'm excited to see what Global Rallycross, the schedule is going to look like this year. Dates I can confirm, though: Loudon, New Hampshire, Bristol, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, Charlotte, and then a date on October 20th that's to be determined. So that's what I know, and that's about all I know. Anyways, we're going to take another short break. I've done enough rambling here. We're going to take another short break. We're going to have Supercross from Oakland and some X Games Snowcross coverage. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back in about a minute.
Like the buffets at Blue Water Resort and Casino? Not anymore. You'll love them. For a limited time, get two buffets for the price of one. Any buffet, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Feast on the buffet of your choice on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Two buffets for the price of one. So bring a friend. Just think how much money they'll save. Two-for-one buffets for a limited time, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Offer cannot be applied to any other discounts. Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona. The party's at the edge. The River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino. With happy hour weekdays 4 till 7. With 2 1/4 domestic beer and $2 well drinks. Show your player's card with ID for 10% off food items. On Sausage Fest Sundays, pick Polish, Italian, broad, or dog with chips just $5. Taco Tuesdays, feature dollar tacos and $2 margaritas. Thursdays, grab a beefy barbecue sandwich for $5. And any flavor of Pucker Vodka for $3. And on Fridays, our tri-tip sandwich is only $8. Take the party to the edge. The River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona.
Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
All right, thanks for staying tuned. I love those breaks. I get to shotgun a Speed Energy during the break and take a little breather. I'm drinking some fuel today. It was an ethanol week last week, and it's a fuel this week, and I'll probably switch to some unleaded later on this week to get ready for the race. But as always, you know, big thanks to Speed Energy for supporting the show and letting us do what we do. And Speaking of Speed Energy, obviously Robbie Gordon back from Dakar. He'll be in action at the Parker 425 in his trophy truck. He's going to be back in black, as they like to say, in the black trophy truck, not the orange truggy you're used to seeing him last year. He'll be back in action this week in Parker. So tune in to Planet Robbie and Speed Energy's Facebook page. They'll have full coverage of the Parker 425 and tracking Robbie and all the Speed Energy teams, Juan Carlos Lopez and possibly myself as well, and what's going on in the world of Speed Energy. And then following that, the biggest rock event of the year, not talking rock and roll, we're talking rock crawling, rock racing. King of the Hammers kicking off 2 weeks from now. And just a huge event. We'll have full coverage of that. We don't cover the rocks on this show really too much. But King of the Hammers, those of you that don't realize, I mean, the event is so big that the United States Post Office gives them their own postal code. It's that big. It's insane. It's basically an entire city built out in Johnson Valley over the course of 2 weeks, for this rock, rock racing. I don't know, it's a hybrid event, it encompasses rock crawling, short course racing, desert racing, and these specialized vehicles, and, Ultra Four King of the Hammers vehicles, I guess is a proper term, but just a phenomenal event. We'll have full coverage of that, have some special guests. But speaking of hammers, Save the Hammers. Right now we've got going on until I should have been a little prepared. February 14th, that's right. And I'm going to be pounding this into the ground for the next couple of weeks. So you guys need to go on and do this. We talked about it, but the U.S. government is trying to shut down basically the Johnson Valley Off-Road OHV area. Not only is it used by desert racers, rock crawlers, recreationalists. We're all about keeping public lands open for things like off-road rally racing. You know what I mean? Rock crawling, motorcycles, UTVs. I'm all about being able to go out on a Saturday and Sunday and use our lands. They're trying to shut down a huge portion of the Johnson Valley OHV area. And the big problem is they're not reallocating the land anywhere else. They're just shutting it down, gone. And as you know, so once something's gone, it doesn't come back. There's a petition at whitehouse.gov, petitions.whitehouse.gov. You need to go and fill it out. They need 25,000 signatures. I know they're getting pretty close. We've got until February 14th to get the 25,000 signatures, but you need to check it out. You can go to savethehammers.org for more information. Please, it takes 30 seconds. Put your name on the petition. That's all it amounts to. When they get 25,000, the White House will look at the petition. If they don't get the 25,000 signatures, the petition won't be looked at. The lands are shut down for good. If we can get the 25,000, there's a good chance we're going to be able to keep those lands open for off-road rally, recreational use, motorcycles, dirt bikes, you name it. In Southern California, there's not much open land left for doing these type of things. So we really need to keep this open. SaveTheHammers.org. Please go and do it today and help us keep the Johnson Valley OHV area open. Anyways, Supercross from Oakland. Man, Supercross has kicked off in a big way. We've had two events in Los Angeles and Anaheim. One in Phoenix, and we've got the third Anaheim race coming up. It's just the way it works. Southern California, mecca for motorcycle enthusiasts, but with the Dodger Stadium event, three of them in Anaheim is just insane. But anyways, we're in NorCal or Central California for Oakland this past weekend, 250s and 450s in action. Pretty much, I guess as they would say, in NASCAR racing, the big one happened right off the bat in the 450 main. The big one happened. We'll get into that. But 250s, the main event results for the 250s. Looks like Kenny Roczen on his KTM took another win. Cole Seeley in second. Jason Anderson third. Martin Davalos in fourth. Malcolm Stewart in fifth, rounds out your top five and your 250 West Point standings. We haven't even got into the East yet. Kenny Roczen in first with 91 points, Cole Seeley second, Eli Tomac in third, Zach Osborne fourth, and Jason Anderson in fifth with 52. You know, it's interesting, you know, other than Tomac and Roczen, it's not the usual suspects we were used to from last year, all those guys moving up to 450. So it's kind of nice to see some different names, you know, some different names in the mix. But as I had said before, big accident in the 450 main, took out a lot of riders. Big pileup in the second corner, five riders go down. Chad Reed was one of them, Josh Grant was another, and James Bubba Stewart was another one involved in the crash. I think Dungy was affected, Josh Grant was affected, Trey Kennard. I mean, you know, it was just a big pileup, really shook things up. So Villopoto ended up walking away convincingly with another win. So he was your winner. Davey Millsaps in second, Dungy in third, Kennard in fourth, and Alessi ended up rallying to finish in fifth. Sixth was Andrew Short, Matt Gorky in seventh, Brock Tickle eighth, Vince Freese in ninth, and Justin Brayton in 10th, Justin Barsha all the way down in 20th position, not having the start that he wanted to this season. Your 450 point standings, Millsaps in first with 85, Kennard in second, 78, Ryan Villopoto with 77 in third, Dungy in fourth with 68, and Reed in fifth with 65. Barsha down there in ninth, and James Stewart down there in 11th, quite a ways behind. We're going to have to get a rally going out of those guys before this year's end. But, yeah, we're just hitting the stride in Supercross. Lots of time left. We'll have full coverage. And like I said, we haven't even got into the 250 Lights East series yet. So, shoot, just a whole nother point series still yet to be kicked off. But X Games, when are X Games happening over the weekend? And, you know, as we cover Action Motorsports, we always cover X Games and rally and the motorcycle events, and Winter X Games, obviously Snowcross. You know, it was interesting. You know, Winter X Games to me, I'll always think of X Games as summer. I mean, it was founded on, you know, skateboards, bikes, you know, and then motorcycles came in later into the picture. And as we talked about last week, I mean, they had some bizarre sports, bungee jumping, you know, skydiving, eco challenge, street luge, which I wish they would bring back, but some bizarre stuff that founded the X Games. And now we've gone more to an action motorsports type format with a lot of motorcycle events and Durocross coming in. You know, rally cars is huge. I've heard Jim Kahana could be on the table in the next year or two coming to X Games. I'd love to see drifting, but I don't know that that's going to happen, and I really don't think off-road racing will. But, you know, that's kind of where they're headed, it seems like, is these guys like Dave Mira and you know, Bucky Lassick. As these guys get older that used to compete on the bikes and boards, you know, and they're able to jump into rally cars and stuff like that and keep their sponsors, you know, going and their fan base alive and well. But Winter X Games always been kind of different to me. I mean, obviously, you know, the events have to take place in snow. They have some really cool motorcycle events with studded tires when it first kicked off that was kind of cool. You know, they've had all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, snow shovel racing. You know, here's what I'd like to see. To me, I love Winter X Games. You know, I watch the snowboarding, I watch the skiing, you know, and obviously the big one for me is all the snowcross events. I love those, and we'll get into all those results. But it's like something's missing. It just is not quite – it's not all there to me. The Winter X Games just isn't all there. You know, I don't know what would make it for me. You know, it's – I'm going to throw this out there. You know, we have the Snowdrift Rally. Let's have a studded tire rally race, a wintertime rally race in Winter X. Let's do that. Tell me that wouldn't be cool. You know, have a, you know, we've got obviously Rallycross in Summer X Games and, you know, all asphalt and dirt. Let's do a wintertime rally event in the snow for Winter X. I think you get you know, the rally guys come out of the woodwork for that. It's well before the GRC season kicks off, so there's not going to be any conflict there. And I think it'd be cool. And you know, I think it really would add one more layer onto to Winter X Games and bring in a whole nother viewer demographic that that traditionally probably doesn't watch Winter X Games that do watch Summer X. So that's what I'm saying. Let's have wintertime rallycross or wintertime rally racing. Shoot, let's even do a one day worth of stages in Colorado somewhere and do stage rally. I'm okay with that, but let's shake it up. I'm not going to cover snowmobile results and stuff like that. You guys can go to xgames.com for all those. I will cover all the snowmobile and anything with an engine that happened at Winter X. Snowmobile Freestyle, the first event kicking off. Levi Lavallee taking away the gold medal. Joe Parsons in second. Not Monster Joe Parsons you guys are familiar with that handles marketing for Monster Energy. We're talking a different Joe Parsons, the snowmobile racer, and Justin Hoyer in third. So that's your Snowmobile Freestyle. And we're talking about freestyle as in, I like to say, a routine where you hit multiple ramps, you know what I mean, and string tricks together. Not the best trick or the big huck event. Speed and style, which is always interesting, you know, mixes a little bit of racing and speed with tricks and always a cool event. Levi Lavallee taking the win there. Corey Davis second. Joe Parsons again finding the podium in third. And what would be Levi's last event of Winter X. He was slated to be in snowcross and best trick. Had to pull out after two gold medals. You know, I would have loved to see a showdown with Hibbert and Levi in the snowcross for an X Games gold, but Levi pulling out with a back injury. I guess he re-aggravated like a triceps injury and hurt his back somehow in snowcross practice. Had to pull out. Sad because Levi, you know, on fire with two X Games golds and, you know, and best trick, which could have been he could have been very dominant in. So, you know, sad to see Levi have to pull out of X Games. Totally understand, you know, he's got a full schedule of snowcross racing, you know, to finish out the year and, you know, pays big bucks for him, I'm sure. So he's probably trying to get well for the second half of this season. And, you know, and he's had a slow start to the season. So very understandable. The first year for it, they debuted. It's called Snowcross Adaptive. Those of you not familiar with it, you know, X Games has always tried to include events that – you know, that cater, I don't want to say cater, but, you know, for paraplegic athletes and whatnot. But anyway, Snowcross Adaptive totally caters to that. You know, guys with, have missing limbs from whatnot, or, you know, or past injuries and, you know, and maybe not able to compete 100%, you know, in regular snowcross racing, but they're very competitive in Snowcross Adaptive. This was the first year for it, and I think all in all, it went off great. Mike Schultz ended up winning. Doug Henry, yes, that Doug Henry was in second, and Garrett Goodwin in third. Just a great event. Hats off to X Games for bringing Snowcross Adaptive, and I hope to see it back next year, and hope to see something similar in Summer X. Regular snowcross racing, Tucker Hibbert going for the six-peat. And they didn't have snowcross last year in X Games, so did get a chance to go for it last year, and I'm glad to see them bring it back this year because without the racing, to me, it just didn't seem right. But Tucker Hibbert getting his six-peat and taking the win, you know, I would have loved to see Levi challenge him for that and see if Levi could have got another gold, a third, or even a fourth, but not to happen. But congratulations to Tucker Hibbert with a gold game, gold medal and a six-peat in snowcross. God, I'd love to get Tucker on air. I need to make a couple of calls and see if we can arrange that. You know, we've talked about it all year, and obviously kicking off the winter season with Levi, and I think Tucker, with the way he's dominating snowcross right now, I think he's got four straight wins, and now his six-peat in snowcross, the X Games, just be a phenomenal interview. Ross Martin with the silver, Tim Trembley with the bronze. Best trick, also known as the Huck Fest, as I like to call it. It's the easiest way to get the point across to people who are not familiar. But best trick, Daniel Bowden taking home the gold. Joe Parsons in second with the silver. And Heath Frisbee in third with the bronze. So a great showing for Joe Parsons. Two silvers and a bronze medal. Levi Lavallee, two golds. And Tucker Hibbert with the six-peat and his six X Games gold medal win in snowcross. So all in all, you know, great Winter X. Hopefully they expand on it, add a few events next year. I would love to see, I'm telling you, wintertime rally racing. Let's make it happen. X Games, I know tag you on Twitter beforehand. Hopefully you're listening. Let's make it happen. Winter Rallycross. But talking about rally racing, one more update before we close down. I've got a heck of a week lining up this week, people. I posted on some social media yesterday. We're starting off, my week. I'm doing this show today. We're going to turn around, and I've got an autograph signing I'm doing Wednesday at a youth center. Turn around Thursday, I've got qualifying in the number 15. Then I've got I'm hosting a pit crew challenge. Turn around Friday, I've got contingency, technical inspection, driver's meeting for the number 15. Saturday, I've got the race. And then Sunday, I've got autographs. And on top of it, we've got all my personal stuff. My daughter's got her first soccer game of the year tonight, and I'm an assistant coach on that. Looking forward to that. We've got Super Bowl on Sunday. I've got a slammed week. I'm going to be pretty busy. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter for what I'm doing. But it should be a heck of a week. But WRC rumor mill, just a couple things coming out of the World Rally Championship this past week I've overheard. Obviously, next rally is Rally Sweden coming up in a couple of weeks. But the Acropolis Rally in Greece, which is one of the marquee events on the WRC calendar, they're going to undergo major changes this year. What that entails, I think it has to do with the route, mainly the route of the rally. But, Acropolis Rally, rumor mill is it's going to have some major changes this year. So, definitely we'll keep you in the loop on that, whenever we find out more. And Ken Block, he's going to be running three events on the WRC schedule this year. I don't know which ones they are yet. I can almost 100% guarantee you WRC Mexico will be one of the three. Ken Block's slated to run three WRC events this year. So upcoming events, we got Supercross Anaheim, the third Supercross Anaheim coming up this weekend. King of the Hammers in 2 weeks. We've got WRC Sweden. And the big one, Best in the Desert, Parker 425 this weekend, one of the biggest trophy truck races, if not the biggest in history going down. I'll be racing. Live coverage, racedesert.com will be doing full live coverage of the event, live streaming, all that good stuff. You need to follow them. Also follow them on Facebook, and then go to Planet Robbie. He'll be doing full coverage of the Speed Energy team and Robbie Gordon, planetrobbie.com, as well as Speed Energy and Planet Robbie on Facebook. You definitely need to check out those places. Parker 425 will have coverage on TV later in the year, but for those of you that want the live unedited stuff, we're definitely gonna lots of places to go and get it. I know Dirt News will have some coverage, offroad.com will have some coverage, and once again, I'll have somebody updating my Facebook and Twitter feed throughout the week. If it's not me, it'll be one of the people that helps me out. So lots of good stuff. So you definitely need to check it out. Special thanks to everybody who makes this show happen. Speed Energy, Parker Motor Company, Blue Water Resort and Casino, Casey Highlights, Impact, Mastercraft Safety, Intensities, UPR, and all of you guys for listening. Without you, I wouldn't be here doing this. So, I can tell you already, it doesn't pay the big bucks. I just do it for the love of rally and off-road and, snowcross, motocross, you name it. And lots of cool stuff happening. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at JimBeaver15 and Facebook/Down and Dirty Show for all my updates this week and from the Parker 425. Very excited about it. The program I've got put together with Tracy Rubio, TNC Machine, General Tire and Speed Energy coming on board, Method Race Wheels, Impact, Mastercraft, all my sponsors, Casey Highlights, we've got a great package. I think, I've got a really good chance at running for a championship this year. I'm only slated to do four of the six races, but after the first two, we're going to evaluate things if I'm in the hunt. We're probably going to do the whole series this year, but really excited and really want to thank my sponsors. And today, I'm telling you, I've got a big press release dropping. It's going to talk about, pretty much last year and what I've got going on this year. So you definitely need to check out my Facebook page. It's going to drop sometime today, so check it out. Just giving you guys a little hint. Nobody else knows it's going to drop but you. So if you tuned in, you're above the curve. Thanks a lot, guys, and we'll see you guys next week when I believe we're going to have Mari Fiocca, off-road desert racing short course insider, coming on air and telling us about his 2013 preview and maybe some other surprise guests that that I've got lining up. So should be exciting, and drink lots of Speed Energy, and we'll see you next Monday. Thanks a lot.